Good morning. I'm Cassidy Suter from Texas Tech University. I'm working with Dr. Wayne Hudnall, and the title of my master's thesis work has since changed since I submitted my abstract. It is now Regeneration of Zeolite Filters Using Electrophoresis. In recent times, there has been an increased use of colloids for heavy metal remediation. Clays in general have been used to clean up heavy metal spills. But the question always seems to arise, what do we do with the filters that have been used for heavy metal remediation? Do we throw them away and allow them to be secondary sources of pollution? Or do we find a way to recycle them, to regenerate them? And that is the purpose of the study, to see if we can use electrophoresis to do just that. One thing I need to stress before I go into my presentation is that the words clay and zeolite are not synonymous things, but clay-sized zeolites are common in the environment. For the study, zeolite samples from St. Cloud Zeolite Mine, located near Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, are going to be used. First, these samples will be characterized. We will run calcium carbonate percentage, moisture content, pH, electrical conductivity, X-ray diffraction, and we will also use scanning electron microscopy techniques. Then these samples will be purified. After that, they will be loaded with cadmium, and the resulting loaded zeolite will represent a zeolite filter that has been used to remove a heavy metal pollutant. Then we will use electrophoresis to separate the cadmium from the zeolite. So what exactly is zeolite? Zeolite is a nanoporous to macroporous mineral with a unique crystalline structure. There are open channels of air, or sieves, that run throughout its structure, and therefore it has molecular sieving ability, increased surface area, and a high CEC. You can see the diagram on the right. It is a clinoptilolite diagram from St. Cloud Zeolite Mine's website. You can see the sieves. There are large sieves and small sieves. The large sieves are just almost 1 nanometer in diameter. If you'll take a look at the list of the CECs, clinoptilolite, anosmite, and philipsite are all types of zeolite. The CECs listed there are theoretical, and they are much higher than the theoretical CECs of vermiculite and smectite. Here are two more diagrams of clinoptilolite. Notice the left one is like the diagram from the previous side. There are no ions or molecules within the sieves. But you can see that the model to the right does, in fact, have ions and molecules. This is more realistic. In the environment, there will always be ions and molecules present within the sieves of a zeolite. Here's an approximate location of where the mine is within the U.S. It's in the southwestern corner of New Mexico, right, the black dot, right there. Electrophoresis is our proposed method for regenerating zeolite. It is a type of electrodialysis. Electrodialysis is a method in which undesired ions are removed from solution by means of a direct current passing between two electrodes on either side of a semipermeable membrane. The semipermeable membrane in electrophoresis is an agarose gel. Two electrodes are in an electrophoresis unit, and the current that runs between these allows for the separation of DNA molecules in genetic studies based on their size and net negative charge. Smaller molecules move at a faster rate throughout the matrix than larger molecules do, therefore, banded patterns result. Here are some pictures of electrophoresis units. These are almost identical to the ones that have thus been used in this study. You can see that there is gel in this unit. It is suspended in a buffer solution. And then also you can notice the electrodes. And if you'll take a look at this picture, a geneticist is dispensing DNA into the gel, into the wells. And you can see that the DNA is blue. The reason it is blue is because a dye called bromophenol blue has been added. Also, something that you can't see with your naked eye in this picture is ethidium bromide, which has also been added to the DNA with the bromophenol blue. The bromophenol blue allows you to track where the DNA is in broad daylight, while the ethidium bromide causes this to happen. underneath a UV light, the ethidium bromide, which reacts with the DNA molecules, it fluoresces. It causes the DNA molecules to fluoresce. It allows you to locate the DNA molecules underneath a UV light. And you can see that the larger molecules are located nearer the wells, and then smaller molecules are migrating this way. So the movement is this way. The positive electrode is on this end, while the negative electrode is on this end of the electrophoresis unit. In theory, because clay-sized zeolite has a net negative charge like DNA, it should migrate towards a positive electrode in an electrophoresis unit. And the cadmium should move towards the negative electrode. These opposing directions of movement should thereby regenerate the clay-sized zeolite. One thing of concern that came up in my proposal presentation was whether or not the sizes of the experimental units involved were going to be compatible with each other. You can see that the cadmium, even in its non-ionic form, which it'll be smaller in its ionic form, can fit into the sieves of the zeolite. The largest zeolite sieves, the largest clinoptilolite sieves, are just almost 1 nanometer in diameter once again, so they are compatible. You can see that the clay-sized zeolite is going to be less than 2,000 nanometers in diameter, and based on the type of gels we have used, 0.5% and 0.8%, the gel sizes will range in diameter from 1,700 nanometers to 3,400 nanometers. Therefore, potentially, the zeolite can also move throughout the gel. The cadmium obviously can as well. So, the first step in the study was to see whether or not something would move in the gel. First, we prepared a zeolite stock solution, 5 grams of the all clay size fraction of a St. Cloud sample were added to 200 milliliters of water. Then 5 milliliters of the zeolite stock solution was added to another container in which also 3.382 grams of cadmium sulfate were added to load the zeolite with cadmium. We also prepared 2 different electrophoresis gels, 0.5%, 0.8%. And ethidium bromide was added to both gels. Ethidium bromide will not react with clinoptilolite, but we hoped it would create a negative image and we could track zeolite that way in the gel. And as you will soon see, that is what happened. So here's the procedure we followed for this test run. 40 microliters of an unknown blue dye were added to 200 microliters of the cadmium-loaded zeolite. The unknown blue dye was probably bromophenol blue, but we weren't sure because the vial was not labeled. This was just a test run, so anything unknown will work in this case, or at least it resembled bromophenol blue, so we took a chance. Then 40 microliters of the same unknown blue dye were added to 200 microliters of the zeolite stock solution. Various amounts of both solution were then dispensed into wells in both gels. And by various amounts, I mean 2 to 40 microliters were in each well in both gels. This is what we dispensed into each well. Well 1 in both gels had an indicator dye. And then 2 through 5 in the 0.5% agarose gel had just the simple zeolite solution. And then 6 through 8 had the cadmium-loaded zeolite. In the 0.8% agarose gel, wells 2 through 7 had the cadmium-loaded zeolite, and then wells 8 through 14 had the simple zeolite solution. After the solutions were added to the wells, the electrophoresis units were run for approximately 30 minutes at 177 volts. Both gels were then photographed in an alpha imager, a fluorescent imaging unit. And this is what resulted. Notice that the electrophoresis units were in fact working because you can see the indicator dye moving in both gels. And notice also that the ethidium bromide did produce a negative image, more so in the 0.8% agarose gel because it remained after 30 minutes. That gel was dense enough to slow the ethidium down to the point that it didn't migrate out of the gel. You can see here that there's a smear. There's something darker there. So the positive electrode was on these ends, the ends of yeah, on this end, while the negative electrodes are on this end of the gel. You can see that something is moving towards a positive electrode, suggesting that it's zeolite that's moving, zeolite and anions. This way, towards a negative electrode, something else is moving that suggests that cadmium is moving. You can see slight smears in the bottom gel, although they are not as prominent. After that picture was taken, the electrophoresis gels were run for one and a half hours more at approximately 177 volts. Then both gels were once again photographed in the same imaging unit. And this is what resulted. I have boxed in the smears that are present in the top gel. You can barely see them. They're showing up better on here than they were whenever I practiced this, but you can see that there's smears running this direction in the gel. You can't see anything moving towards the negative electrode, unfortunately. But then if you'll take a look at the 0.8% agarose gel, the ethidium bromide is still present, and it's making it easier for you to see that there are smears moving also throughout this gel in both directions. You can see a darker kind of a group smear down here, well, as you can see individual well smears and on the side moving towards the positive electrode. So in conclusion, presumably zeolite and various anions are in fact moving towards the positive electrode in the electrophoresis unit. And also cations are supposedly causing the smears moving towards the negative electrode. So that's nice. We know that things are moving, and that's the first step towards the next step in the study. In the future, we would like to use dyes to locate zeolite and cadmium within the gels, and then also use ICP and SEM techniques to clarify what exactly is moving. At this time, I'll take any questions. We don't know that yet. It would be amazing if after we've gone through all the steps, if we find that this does in fact work to apply this on an industrial scale. But that would probably be a PhD project and not a master's project. So.
Other questions? No, thank you, Cassidy.
Thank you.